We're in the second week of our series on confronting confusion. And this week we're talking about the confusion over identity. I believe there is nothing more prevalent in your face as far as confusion is concerned in our culture right now than identity. It's blatant and it promises to take on new identities, even denying where you came from. But what I believe that we are seeing today is there is no permanent satisfaction in creating your own identity. I believe hearts still long to connect with who we are, where we came from, and why. Who here has ever studied your family tree? There's a few of you in here. I grew up in a family that we just admitted, hey, we're a melting pot. We're a little bit of this, we're a little bit of that. My dad would even say, no, we're Heinz 57. We got a little bit of it all, you know? And I have Western European blood. I, believe it or not, 1% Polynesian. Thank you, my dear bride, for finding that out. And don't ask, because I don't know, right? But growing up, we never really studied our family tree, but my wife about 4 years ago got obsessed with it. And we discovered that in my family tree, I'm from a clan in Ireland, and one of my family was a chieftain. Found that out pretty cool. My great-great-great-grandfather came on a boat in 1850 from France through the port of New Orleans, and it's become fascinating to learn where I came from. And one day I was in the office, and it was a Monday right after, you know, the Sunday service, and someone had said something that just burned me, and I was still steaming about it the next day, and Ellen looked at me and goes, you're Irish, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. And we both laughed about it, and we were talking about the stereotypes with which you come from, and I do believe knowing the past is good. Knowing where I come from gives me great insight into who I am today. And I truly believe God has planted desires in all of humanity's heart to know where you come from. He has. And what the world does with it lends to sometimes confusion because it has nothing to do with God. And as we're wrestling with identity, I think it comes down to that we want purpose, we want to fit in. I remember when I was in junior high, I went to Southeast Polk, and Southeast Polk's a pretty cliquey school. And if in junior high, if you weren't part of the Cowboys, the Hicks, or you could be a part of the preppy group, or you could be a part of the goth group or the alternative group, and there were so many different groups, and I'm trying to figure out where to fit in. So I convinced my mom to go out, and I bought the Pepe jeans. Anyone my age remember Pepe jeans or Z Cavaricci's? Or I had the Eastlands that were black with the brown leather stripe up the back. Like, I had to get all that, and the reason I had to get it at the time was because I wanted to fit in. I hadn't embraced my true God-given identity. I was trying to find a source of identity. If you would turn with me today, and I encourage you to just, you know, if you don't have one, you can grab one in the seat in front of you. But show me your Bible. We're going to turn into Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. It's not going to be up on the screen. It's only going to be from the written word of God. So we're going to have to look it up. Supporting scripture will be up on the screen today. But Psalm 139, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning. And I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, you know what? Take one of these paper Bibles home with you. It is okay. Write your name in it. I'm cool with it. But we want to make sure that every person in this church has their opportunity to have a Bible in their lives all the time. Psalm 139, starting at verse 13, going through verse 16. David says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Let's pray. Father, Lord, identity in our culture today, it can kind of feel like a dirty word. It can feel kind of icky. But God, I pray that as we just open up our minds and our heart to what you say, Father, Lord, we can separate the truth from a lie. And we can understand, Lord, your God-given purpose. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Notice in my prayer I just said that many feel almost identity is a dirty word today, and that is because identity have become ideologies. Now, you hear me say that, and you're like, Pastor, I need an explanation of what you mean. And first off, I would tell you that many believe today we can create our own identity out of nothing. The world is convinced that by choosing whoever you want to be, you can create a new identity all by yourself. And as a result, identities have become ideologies where our beliefs, values, ideas shape our individual worldview of what is good, bad, right, or wrong. But it's for the greater purpose of trying to bring people into our belief and understanding of who we are. In these identities are formed not just in religion, but also in politics, economic status, social, our culture, and in sexual preference. We find it all over. And what happens is that when an identity becomes an ideology, it in and of itself becomes a religion by itself. And when that is not embraced, there becomes factions. And it is most evident that an identity has become an ideology when you don't agree with another party by their standard. And if you don't agree with that other party, that party is then immoral. Now, with this next illustration, I'm probably going to press some buttons. Who loves their button getting pressed? Oh, yeah, we all do. Here we go. COVID-19 made this more evident than ever that identities become ideologies, where people assumed that if you are pro-vaccination, then you must be a Democrat. If you're an anti-vaxxer, you must be a Republican. If you believed COVID-19 was a hoax, then you're conservative. And if you wore a mask at all times and a protective screen and bathed yourself in antibacterial soap, then you're a liberal. That's just what happens. And both sides, listen, both sides acted morally superior to the other. Right? Let's be real. We did. And this, since then, has become the norm, where we don't feel at peace with the rest of the world wherever we go, because you got to choose a side. And then we're divided against the other. And it has removed the core truth of humanity, that we're all created as individuals and not supposed to just agree with each other. Right? We're not supposed to necessarily do that, but we are called to love one another. Listen to John 13, 34 through 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, and you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Think about it. By just loving someone else, you are proving Christ in your life. Because Jesus knows that most of us are pretty unloving. And so by just loving the unlovable, you are proving Christ. Fascinating. Remember, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He was being challenged by, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he said something absolutely fascinating. He said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love them based off of how they identify or choose to believe or if they're exactly like you. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we have abandoned genuine care for one another. We really have. And we need to embrace the words of Christ here. And I want to encourage you that especially if you are seeking for identity, identity isn't formulated, it's discovered. Now, identity, just as a basic principle, it answers the fundamental question, who am I? And it's important to understand that that isn't for you to develop and define who you are going forward, change the narrative. That's not what it's for. It's defined by where you come from, which shapes who you are. These are unique to the individual by maybe your own physical markers, social upbringing, and your own individuality. Part of mine and my wife's identity, and we never imagined this when we got married, was that we are a special needs family. That's who we are. There are times I prayed to God believing in healing, but God has said, I've set you apart. And again, these are unique, this identity, by your own physical markers, your social upbringing, your individuality. But identity really comes down to this. What gives your life meaning? What gives your life meaning? I was watching a YouTube reel here recently, and there is a trend, and it was following all these people, and I don't know if you've seen this, that are deciding to just abandon their family. They just one day decide, I'm blocking their phone calls. I don't want to talk to my parents anymore. I don't want to talk to my siblings anymore. I just want to live life and pretend all that doesn't exist. And you might be sitting there thinking, hold on a second, but maybe they come from really rough backgrounds and they just need to disassociate with that. And that's not the case with these people that are doing this. They're just deciding, you know what? I didn't exactly agree with them, so I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing. Don't you find that fascinating? And all of these trends, let's put all of them in a big box together. All of these trends are a symbol of a greater issue. This is an open rejection to God. It's an open rejection to God. Listen to Romans 1:25. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. And so what we find is when we're trying to grasp onto all these other things, and we really what we're doing is we're trying to prop ourselves up, that this doing this is satanic in nature. And it's evident by the temptation in the garden, because what we're doing is we are denying a fundamental truth that we are created in the image of God by God to serve God. That's what it comes down to. You know, identity is defined through creation. And it starts with this key truth. You are made in the image of God. The Imago Dei. You are made in the image of God. David makes it so clear in Psalm 139. He made it crystal clear that it wasn't evolutionary design. It wasn't just happenstance that David was saying, hey, my parents got together and they created me. He says, God, you formed me in my mother's womb. You knit me together, my inward parts. You had a say in all of it. Listen to what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Job, and you guys know everything that Job went through. Job exclaimed to God in Job 10:11, you clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. Church, I want you to embrace that your design, you being created, resembles God. It resembles God. Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so there is a lot of creation to look at. And there is a lot of creation I admire. And I go to some pretty interesting places in this world, and I love to see God's creation, because you can go other places and see things you'd never see at home, and you're like, God, you just completely blow my mind with the things that you can do. Now, if we were to look at all creation without the lens of God and creation, humans are often linked to really resembling what other mammal? Apes, right? We're often linked to apes. And I say, if evolution were true, we would be seeing them evolve beyond their current state today, and we might have a Planet of the Apes situation. Frightening. But something else I tend to notice, especially depicted by Hollywood and the human mind, every time God is depicted, what does he look like? Mankind. He looks like mankind. You being created in the image of God gives you a glimpse of what God looks like. Church identity is not something you invent. It's a gift we discover in the one who made us. It's a gift we discover. Now, this cultural confusion, all these things that are going on, all the voices and ideas of who we should be and who we shouldn't be, it is a rejection of God-given identity. It takes the creation account and it either rewrites it or rejects it completely. It deepens unrest in the hearts of people because we're fighting against his very workmanship, who he designed you to be. And God defines us as wonderfully complex. There's some pretty complex people in this room. God made you complex. And also marvelous. God did that. And what I have found, that with all of humanity, this is true, that our souls won't be at rest until we embrace the truth that we are created in the image of God. There's this account on Instagram and TikTok I follow, and it's a man that calls himself Niza. Anyone seen this? Might be a few in the room as I talk about it. And Neza, growing up, a man that transitioned to a female, and while he took hormone replacement therapy and all those things, and then he had a relationship with another woman, and then one day he accepts Christ. And upon accepting Christ and discovering the Spirit of God in his life, he detransitioned, and the woman that he was in a relationship with also accepts Christ. And now they're going to church together, and they're discovering who God is in their life, and he invites you daily into this journey of discovery. It hasn't even been a year yet, and he's inviting you into this journey of what it means to discover Christ in his life and who he is in the image of God. And the fascinating thing is he shows you good days, he shows you bad days, he shows you the thoughts he's wrestling with, he is open about relapsing in sin, but consistently he is making one thing clear, and this is the part that I absolutely love. He didn't find satisfaction in life until he embraced Jesus. It was then that he could embrace who God created him to be. Church, when you choose to seek and know God, that gives us a deeper clarity and security in who you are. That's where that comes from. And so as you seek God, the more you discover his work in your life, God answers to that biggest question that all of humanity is seeking. What is my purpose? Where do I come from? Who am I? As my wife was going through my family tree, as much I am an individual and shaped by the world around me and my understanding of God, certain behaviors that I do started to make a little bit more sense. The truth of God has a way of lifting the veil and making things clear to us. And so many people, I get it, they reject God. But this is important for us to understand. And this is true for all of humanity. God hasn't rejected you. God hasn't rejected you. You can reject him all you want to. But God, as your creator, is still reaching out to you and saying, no, no, no. I designed you. I made you into who you are. And all you have to do, all you have to do is embrace me and know that I formed you in your mother's womb. I care for you. I have paved a way for you because I want relationship with you. That is who my God is. And then what you are going to find, that God has created you and his purpose for you as the same as it was for his initial purpose in the garden when he created Adam and Eve, for eternity. He created you for eternity. And he wants to be with you. And church, your identity is going to ultimately be found in Jesus Christ. That's where you get your satisfaction. God has placed a longing in your heart for eternity. All of humanity, God has placed a longing in their heart for eternity. And they're trying to figure out what that is. I see, you know, Hollywood and celebrities trying to always look younger. And then you see some of these that are in their 80s and you're like, really? You know, growing up in the time period that I grew up in and seeing Madonna trying to reinvent herself all the time. And it's honestly, it's pretty scary. But they're searching, they're longing for eternity, something to cling to. Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Does that say God has made some things beautiful, some things not so beautiful? No, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So God has wired us with this sense of eternity, and it's this innate awareness that the world is fleeting. Everyone in the world knows it. The world is absolutely fleeting, and lives are short, and identities aren't enough. We need something more. You and I, we need permanence. We need meaning. We need transcendence above whatever it is on this earth. So self-reinvention, it's never going to satisfy. It can't fill an eternal void. And so the answer is never going to be more ideologies. The answer is surrendering to the one who made us and redeems us. I spoke to this at the end of worship. At the end of worship, I said, you know, when you just go into the throne room of God, when you plead, I get it. In our infancy in Christ, we don't even understand what it is we're doing. But when we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives, because we have no right to go into the throne room of God in and of ourselves. But when we accept Jesus, when we say, yes, God, I accept your son as dying for my sins. His blood covers my sins. I am redeemed. What we have the opportunity to do is we can now go into the throne room of God. And it is in the throne room of God that we are redeemed. Our purpose is made clear. Where identity is truly developed. That's God. And so when we sing, nothing else is going to do, it's because every wrong is righted when I'm in the presence of God. Sickness, disease, all that, it doesn't matter when I'm in the presence of God, because God has planted eternity in my heart, and when I go in to worship him, when I am in the throne room, I say, God, this is what I want. God, this is what you've created me for. God, this is what my heart longs for the rest of my life. Church, can you embrace that in Jesus' name? Because that is who God created you to be. And that's why when people experience the presence of God, they always say, whatever it is, I want it. I want that all the time. Because that's what truly changes us. God has opened the door to draw you to himself from the very beginning. And we find this true, unchanging identity in Jesus Christ. That doesn't change. Listen to Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us. So, Could God love you before you were formed in your mother's womb? Absolutely. Absolutely. So even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. Church, you and I, we can stand secure knowing that the Father knew you before you were born. He sent his Son to restore you from a fallen and broken world. And we figure that out with Christ. So clarity, it comes from Jesus Christ. Confusion ends when we embrace the eternal purpose God planted in our hearts. So you and I, what we can do is we can root our identity in him, find true satisfaction and belonging. And if you choose Christ, you discover purpose. And you know, church, I wish it was so instantaneous. I wish God just completely opened up our mind to all his ways upon initially accepting him. I really do. It'd be amazing. But God wants our whole heart, and he knows our heart is deceitful above all things. And so God wants you to pursue him because he's always pursued you. He wants you. And he wants all of you. Not just a little bit, not good enough for just Sundays, not good enough for maybe Sundays and Wednesdays, or maybe that Bible study you do once a week, or whatever it is. God wants it all. If you are truly wrestling with who you are, I believe one of my top three chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Read it. Get to know it. 39 verses, and every verse challenges you in one way or another. But it tells you who you are. And so what I encourage you to do is I encourage you to seek that truth and allow it to lift the veil so that confusion in who you are, what the world has said you are, is gone, so that you realize this is who God says I am. And if God created me and God has prepared me for eternity, then nothing else absolutely matters about what others say, because God said it. Because God says this. And I really feel for people who are still growing up and developing in our current culture. We're so lost. And it's amazing, there's more answers that pop up every day from the world to make everyone satisfied, happy. Give them purpose. But what I've found, that's always changing. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And so I, church, I embrace the things that don't change. The goalposts don't move. He stays the same. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't revise his word? God doesn't say, well, I've got a new view. Doesn't say that. And so I just encourage you right now, bow your heads. And I believe within this room, you know, and I think it can be one of those things that's not easy to admit, but I think that God does reveal these things to us. But I believe there's people in this room that do struggle with identity and all forms and fashions. And what I believe the answer is embrace and surrender to God. And what happens is that God, he lifts that veil in our lives to where we start to have clarity by his word and who he says we are. And then next thing you know, the things that we used to deem so important in our lives, or even those things that are changing, they just start falling to the wayside. They don't really matter anymore. And as we begin to develop and understand God, we start to see that really it is just God who matters. But it all starts by just recognizing that God sent his son for you to be a sacrifice to you, for you. To take your sin on that cross, that his blood would be shed to cover you and make you pure before a perfect God. That's who God is. And he did that for you because he created you. He loves you. He wants you in eternity. So God, since the very beginning, has planted eternity in your heart. And he's calling out to you. And today, what I encourage you to do, we're going to stand up, we're going to worship one last time. And I'm going to invite, we haven't done this in a long time, I'm going to invite people from the prayer altar team forward. If you're on the prayer altar team, I want you to come forward. So if you could stand with me, please. I believe what happens is there are times in our lives where the Holy Spirit is working and we can't articulate what God is doing. But we might be here and we might be saying, I don't know why, but I'm struggling today. I don't know why, but something is unsettled in me. I'm compelled to I just need more of Jesus, or I need to accept Jesus. I need to embrace him for who he is. That is why these guys are here. They are up here today with no judgment or condemnation. They're up here to connect you with Christ. And so if you are here today and you're just saying, man, I just need prayer. I don't know why. Like, there's something unsettled in me and I want it fixed. That's why they are here. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. And if you are saying, I need prayer today, Pastor, I just encourage you to come up to the front. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for each and every individual that is in this room today. And God, I know so many that struggle with who they are, where they come from, and God, trying to fit in with others. But today, God, I believe that you are calling people out. You are saying, in me, you can find true purpose. In me, you can find true identity. In me, you can find a satisfaction that you can find nowhere else on the face of this earth. And Lord, I know that one of the ways your Holy Spirit works, when you're calling us out, Lord, there's an inner turmoil that's taking place. And you're calling us just to trust you and to take that step. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that you have been working on, that Lord, they will be encouraged to know that God, this is a day of love. This is a day of redemption. This is a day of your embrace. God, I pray you will give people a boldness. Lord, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.